Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Getting Terminated Checklist, Part 1. The questions this class answers are, what should I do first if I am terminated? Should I take legal action against my employer if I'm terminated? And should I tell people I have been terminated? Are you in need of some vacation and R&R this year? As a manager of other managers or an HR organizational leader, if your managerial complement focuses on manager tools, R&R, that's results and retention, you should be able to take your vacation with no worries. With our organizational effective manager training, we teach managers how to build relationships and communicate with their directs in such a way that drives improved results and promotes retention of your proven professionals. Your managers also receive annual licensing, which provides supplemental support for a full year. To learn more, contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com or check it out on our website under For Organizations. In this guidance, we are going to assume that you have been terminated either with or without cause, but not that you've been terminated as part of mass layoffs. We have other guidance on our website about layoffs. There's a subtle difference between the two that makes us give different guidance. So if you are being terminated as part of layoffs, please go to manager-tools.com. And if you find a search bar, type in layoffs, there'll be a bunch of stuff that comes up. We've talked about layoffs for individuals who are being laid off, what to do as a manager, how to look out in your company, what to look for, what indicates layoffs are coming. There's a whole bunch of stuff that will help you through layoffs. Not that it won't be helpful at all, but this isn't aimed at that circumstance. And being terminated isn't something we wish on anybody. If you find yourself in that circumstance, and I found myself in that circumstance too, so don't feel alone. All the best people we know have been terminated, either for cause or not for cause. It's happened to the best people. So don't feel alone. Don't feel like it's the end of your career. Don't feel like it's the end of the world. It is not. You will recover from this. It's not the worst thing to do, the worst thing to happen to you. And we hope that this will give you positive actions to take and will be the catalyst to an upswing in your fortunes.
Yeah, absolutely. The outline for today is we're going to recommend a few points here. One, prepare for this eventuality. As Wendy mentioned, this happens to the best of us, so prepare for the worst. Say little, ask why, take notes, ask about terms, tell your spouse, activate your network, update your resume, check your benefits qualifications, and finally, consider contacting an employment lawyer only after you have a new role. So that was a pretty robust outline. There were quite a few points there that we're going to need to break down here. But the first one was to prepare for this eventuality. So as Wendy mentioned, no one expects or hopes that they come to this point where they are being laid off. And because of all the different reasons that you could find yourself in this situation, as Wendy mentioned, with or without cause, it could be because you are losing your job due to an illness or an injury that now prevents you from doing your job. Maybe the company is going under, or, you know, there's a ton of different reasons that your job could come to a sudden end. No one plans for these things to happen. So if you're listening to this guidance, maybe some of you are listening with the expectation that this won't happen to you. And you're one of those rare people that are listening for someone else, right? We always get emails into customer service and it's always asking for a friend. I'm yes. Asking for, I just had one of those. I had someone write in and say, one of the friends in my, parent group, mm-hmm. not my colleague, but one of the friends of my parent group, they're dealing with, this, and how would you guys, give guidance there? And we're happy to help. But if you find yourself listening to this for a friend or for someone else, you should know that one of the first things you can do to prepare yourself for this eventuality is to start saving. And this gets into personal finances, and we have a lot of great guidance on personal finances, but we recommend that you have at least 6 months of expenses saved. So we recommend you save at least 10% of your income until you've got that 10% in liquid savings available. We've got lots of podcasts on this, as I mentioned, but it's even worse, right? If you find yourself in the situation where you're losing your job suddenly, unexpectedly, and then you have the additional stress of wondering how you're going to pay next month's rent or wondering how you're going to pay for childcare and those types of things. Let's not make an already stressful situation even more stressful, right? Let's try to relieve some of that burden by having that savings and that, you know, I've heard it called a rainy day fund, and I can't imagine many days more rainier than losing your job unexpectedly.
Yeah. It's the day that future you will thank past you, you know, that it's the day to day when you don't buy that thing that you don't really need, but you really want. Mm-hmm. And the day in the future when you think, thank goodness I didn't do that.
Exactly. Because the alternative is you have that thing and it's sitting in your house and you go, gosh, I could really use the $500 that I spent on that. And then what are you going to do? Sell it? Right? Yes. You're going to have to, yeah.
Just makes life harder.
Just makes things harder in an already difficult time. So if you're not in the position where you have 6 months saved and you are, you do find yourself in the position where you're being let go, just start saving now, right? Whether you're listening for you or listening for a friend, just spread the word, start saving now. I've never heard anyone say, gosh, I had too much money saved up when I found myself in between jobs or found myself without a job. But I've heard the opposite quite a bit.
Yeah, that's true. No one ever regretted saving more money. So if that's the kind of what can I have done 6 months mm-hmm. ago? So that's what you can do now. What can you do in the moment when you find out you're being terminated? So that's what we're going to concentrate on now. So the first thing is say little. The less you say, the less you can say that you will regret.
Yeah.
Being terminated for any reason is horrible. When I got terminated, I had been told that if I did this X thing in the next month, I would be terminated. So I knew, and I did X thing. I made a mistake. I had made the mistake before. If I was told if I made it again, I would be terminated. I made it again, completely unintentionally, but I did it again. And I
was, hence mistake.
Yes. And I was terminated. It was completely fair. And yet it was still an awful moment. It's like getting divorced or dropping out of school. It's this failure and regret and why did I do that again? It's like when you hit your car into a wall. It's just like, why? Why did I do mm-hmm. that? There's a grief for the future that you imagined. It's, you know, like, I really like this job and I just did that again, even when you know it's your own fault. And sometimes it's anger. It's, you know, that wasn't my fault. That was right. Someone else's fault. Or this isn't fair. I'm being picked on, or it should have been somewhere else, or it's the economy or that customer or something else. And it shouldn't be me. So there's all sorts of competing emotions, and it's mm-hmm. best not to say any of those things out loud, because those things get you into trouble. All those emotions churning around are momentary, you know, and what our emotions are not us. And to give voice to them makes them permanent in a way that we don't want to.
Well, and especially as you mentioned, if we're in a moment of, we expect it and we see it coming, that's okay, right? There's still going to be emotions there. But if you're completely caught off guard and surprised, which could very well happen, that is not the time that's not when you're going to make a lucid, you know, coherent, you know, statement about all the things that are going through your head. No way. Right. So again, if we want future us to thank past us, this is a good opportunity to leave a few things unsaid and again, less to regret.
And the only reason that comedians have really good comebacks to hecklers is that the hecklers are the same, say the same things every night. You know, it's always the same. And so they practice having comebacks at the hecklers.
Yeah, they even set them up.
Yes, that too.
They create opportunities for people to heckle them so that they can reply with their witty comeback.
So the rest of us expecting that we're going to be witty and have a snappy comeback and decimate someone, we just don't do it. So it's better just to be quiet. You need only say, thank you for letting me know. You are not saying thank you for terminating me. You're saying thank you for letting me know. That's just for being the person that conveys the information.
Yeah. And if there have ever been moments where your boss has been a good one, then you can say, I've enjoyed working for you. This is not a blanket statement of every moment we've spent together or I've worked for you has been filled with joy. And this is exactly the outcome I was hoping for. Okay. It merely says, during the time we've had together, that we've worked together, there have been some moments where I've actually enjoyed working for you. That's it. So don't think that because you're saying I've enjoyed working for you, you're saying, oh, everything that's ever happened, right, has been sunshine and rainbows. That's not what you're saying.
Yeah. There's a whole world of gray that a lot of people don't seem to see. If you can, you can say, I'm sure this is difficult for you too.
Yeah.
And that is true for it is very, if you think it's difficult to hear you're being terminated, it is really hard to be the person that tells you you're terminated.
And I think, Wendy, this is a good point. And this is something that when we put on conferences and we talk to people and we go through practices and we talk about performance and talking about all these other things, sometimes it's really challenging for the audience or attendees to separate the message from the act of delivering the message. And those are different things. And I think, you know, if you really challenged yourself, you could acknowledge that, yes, this is not a pleasant message to receive, not something I wanted to receive, but you can appreciate the mettle or the courage of the person delivering that message to actually tell you, right? And, you know, you could sit there and say that's their job or that's, you know, they don't have a choice or whatever. Well, we always have choices, right? But I've worked in organizations where the boss wasn't the person delivering the news. It was HR. It was somebody else. And again, if it is HR in your case, you can still say, thank you for letting me know, because they're the ones telling you. There's always a difference between the delivery of the message and the actual message. And so if you can separate those two or compartmentalize them in your mind, you can find appreciation for one, even if you're not happy for receiving the other. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And there's a difference between the person and the message and the person and the delivery and the message, right? The person is still a human being who's doing their best, even if they're doing a really bad job of delivering a message that you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, they're still a person.
And I would even go one step further here. One of my favorite pieces of guidance that we have and that, you know, Mark has recorded is assume positive intent. If someone's telling you that you're being terminated and you get the feeling from them that they're cold and distant and insensitive, I think you can still ascribe to assuming positive intent. And perhaps, even though it feels like they're being unemotional and stoic and like they don't care, maybe in their experience, caring too much or demonstrating that and showing, you know, more of that concern or even being, you know, a little emotional has ended up being worse for the situation. And maybe what they're trying to do is not create more emotion in an already emotional situation. I think even then you can assume positive intent.
And perhaps this is the only way for them to get through this.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of different reasons. But I think if you're assuming positive intent, you're better off here. And you may be wrong. Maybe they are jerks. Totally fine. But that doesn't help you.
No.
It doesn't help you in the long run.
No. And of course, when you walk out of the room, you will think of the absolute perfect thing to say. And you'll be able to excoriate the person with the fluency of an Oscar-winning perfect speech, you know, the one that somebody spent 3 months recording and had 15 takes, by the way, because mm-hmm. that's how long it takes to do an Oscar.
It was written by professional writers. Exactly. Yeah,
because we all compare ourselves to that Oscar-winning speech and mm-hmm. never put together in our minds that that's how those things are written. It will not come in the moment. It is better to have something simple and gracious to say, thank you for letting me know. I'm sure this is hard for you too.
Yeah.
That's what we have cliches for. My mom tells me this, and mm-hmm. it's one of my mom's favorite, my, you know, everybody has that thing that their mom told them, but she says, when someone dies and we say, I'm sorry for your loss, and they're in a better place, and those things mean nothing, but we say them because we have nothing else to say. And the person, when we say it to them, knows how we feel because we're saying that thing that people say when they have nothing else to say. It's a kind of unwritten contract between us that says, I know how you feel, and, you know, I'm feeling it too. And that's what cliches are for. So the fact that you're saying a cliche is okay.
Yeah, because I would say it's more about the sentiment than the words at that point.
Exactly. Yeah. So remember that you have a future, and a future that will benefit, if not from help from this person, it will benefit if this person does you no harm. And if you do harm to this person at this moment, then there is a reason for them to do more harm to you in the future. And if the choice is to make nice and get what you want in the future, or at least get no harm in the future, why not do that? You've got to say two sentences, not say anything mean, and walk out of the room. That's all you've mm-hmm. got to do. It's not like you have to say something incredibly nice to them. We're not saying, like, mm-mm. you know, bow at their feet and tell them they're the most wonderful person you've ever worked for, and please will they let you stay. All we're saying is say thank you for the message and then walk out. Like, that's all you have to do. So you don't have to be overly nice, but just don't put yourself in a worse position by indulging in the anger or the frustration or the upset or any of those negative emotions.
So if the choice is make nice and get what you want, or don't make nice and suffer, we're saying make nice. Right. So I know this might not need to be said, but I think it's important that we at least say sometimes the things that don't need to be said. Don't throw a fit. Don't yell. Don't scream. Don't hit things or people. Don't damage anything or threaten anyone. All those actions are likely to do is at best have security called, but at worst, get you arrested. And now, again, we're talking about an already stressful situation, right? It just got worse. In a few points, we're going to talk about telling your spouse. I would recommend you not tell your spouse from the end of a phone call where you're also asking them to bail you out, right? That would make it a little bit worse. So none of the actions that, you know, I mentioned, yelling, screaming, threatening, none of that is going to help you in the future. So if you can't control yourself, then excuse yourself and leave. Leave the room, leave the building if you have to. It doesn't need to be a dramatic exit. Okay, just say, would you please excuse me while I collect myself? Anyone delivering this message will be prepared to accept that you need to collect your thoughts and you need to step away. That's perfectly reasonable and understandable. So the only thing, though, is once you've done that, right, whether you had to leave the room, leave the building, you are going to have to return to finish the conversation once you've kind of done that, calmed down and collected your thoughts. Just remember, dramatic exits are for television, not for real life.
Unfortunately.
That would be
unless
fun.
You're working on TV, which, yeah.
Well, yeah.
No, you do have to come back because you can't just disappear. People right. do nowadays, but yeah, it's not cool. It's about to be the 1st of May when we all say, where is the year going and why did time speed up? In May, manager tours will be in Melbourne, Australia, Boston, Minneapolis, and Vancouver, British Columbia, as well as on Zoom, twice. We'll be bringing the Effective Manager Conference and the Effective Communicator Conference to all of those locations and running one virtual Effective Manager Conference and one virtual Effective Communicator Conference. If you would like to see the actual dates in May and register, please go to managertools.com and look for training on the menu bar. Okay, so ask why. You can ask why you've been terminated, but only if you genuinely don't know. In my case, I absolutely knew. And if I'd have said, why am I being terminated? They'd have said, are you just
The fact that you're asking probably says that this is a good decision.
Yeah. Are you just trying to annoy us? Right? If you've been on a performance improvement plan for 6 months, you know why you've been terminated. If your performance is way below the rest of the team, you know why you've been terminated. If the company is losing money and they're terminating a bunch of people, you know why you've been terminated. It may be about you. It may not be about you. But if you know, you don't need to ask. Mm-hmm. But you're entitled to ask if you genuinely don't know. And you're entitled to an answer. Now, that answer may or may not satisfy you. It may or may not feel like the truth to you. It may or may not be reasonable to you.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't recommend that you keep asking until you get to an answer you like, because you may not ever get there. There's a point at which just keep discussing things doesn't get you anywhere. It's like an argument with your spouse. You know, you end up going round in circles and you can argue all night and all you end up is tired. You know, sometimes there's a line that people have been given. This is the answer to why this person has been terminated. And they will just keep giving you that line because legally that's what they're supposed to be telling you. Sometimes, you know, if you feel like your manager has been lying to you for the last 6 months and they're still lying to you, well, they're not going to change. So, you know, you're just wasting energy and time when you could be out looking for the next job. So, you know, sometimes it's about you, sometimes it's not, but it's not helpful to you to keep digging into the truth. In a week's time, it really won't matter because you'll be looking for another job. And people actually are surprisingly uninterested in why you got terminated from the previous job. Like, the details to them matter very little. I was shocked at how little people cared about why I had been terminated. And I was willing to tell them I made a mistake repeatedly, the same mistake. It was a stupid mistake. And they were like, well, that was a really weird system. So why were they doing that? They were helping you make that mistake. Yeah, never mind. We don't do that here. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. So you don't need to get to the bottom of why they're terminating you if you don't feel like they're giving you the straight answer. Just move on. But you're entitled to ask why.
Yes. If you don't know, definitely ask. I do think that there's a possibility that sometimes in these situations, when you feel like you have no power and you're completely powerless, when they give you the reason or you ask why and you're not happy with the reason, sometimes it can feel good, like you're taking a little bit of the power back by, for lack of a better analogy, making them squirm and saying, no, but why? Because this and why that, you know, and really pressing them on it. When at the end of the day, like Wendy said, if they've got a line, that's their line. Pressing them on it just wastes time and resources. And this is a critical moment, you know, from the moment you find out to when you find the next opportunity. That's a really, really important period of time. And don't waste any of it. Just, you know, trying to kind of take a little bit of power back and making someone who's the messenger squirm a little bit. Even the worst of companies, don't make these decisions lightly. There's nothing you can say or nothing you can kind of press them on that will make them say, you know what? Yeah, you know what? We don't have a very good reason. Now that I think about it, forget I said anything. Forget I said anything. You just keep going to work like you would normally. No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Revenge is your happiness in the next job. It's never, ever going to be poking them in the eye. So we've even used some stuff to think about for this week. And then next week, we're going to come back with the rest of the points about what to do when you have been terminated and what to do just after you've been terminated. Bye, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.